a good understanding. A good understanding. John chapter 10, Jesus was speaking to not only his disciples, but other listeners. John chapter 10, beginning with verse number 3, Jesus is speaking to them. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Please notice verse 6. Jesus used this figure of illustration in the King James and said he used this parable. But they did not understand what he was telling them. Everybody say, Lord, have mercy. Verse 9, skip down to verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And he will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Again, the theme verse is, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Look at somebody, tell them a good understanding is what we need. You may be seated. Lord, help us to preach now. Help us to proclaim your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. It's something when we hear something, but we don't understand what's being said to us. That's something. Now, it wouldn't be detrimental to us if it was a minor thing that we are hearing, but we're not understanding. In other words, if someone stood up and told me, here's how I fly this airplane, and here's how fast it can go, that's more than I need. That's TMI. That's too much information. But when someone is telling me something that is critical to my survival and to my life itself, I need to understand. Touch yourself and say, I need to understand. Are y'all still here? Jesus was speaking to them, and we have this dilemma. We have this dilemma. He was telling them that he was the good shepherd, that he had concern for them. He would care for them. He would lead them. He would feed them. He would take care of them. He was the door. He was telling them all of these things. But verse 6 says they didn't understand a thing he was talking about. And that can be a problem. Israel was considered God's flock. And they should have known, when Jesus referenced this information, they should have known that here was the Messiah, the shepherd, talking to them, the shepherd of Israel, who dwelt in glory, had now come down to earth and dwelt among us. And they beheld his glory, but they didn't understand him. Have you ever been misunderstood? Raise your hand. You just trying to explain and you still being misunderstood because either they heard it wrong or they didn't hear what they ought to have heard. Here's Jesus telling them, and in their Old Testament scripture, if they didn't have anything else but Psalm 23, they would have noticed what it said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They should have noticed that. They should have noticed from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, he says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs into his arms and carry them into his bosom and shall gently lead those who are with young. What a picture of God. And here's Jesus giving them the message, telling them, I'm the one. Look at me. I'm the one. Pay attention. But they did not understand. I want to give you two things that are disappointing and troubling about this verse, but then I'm going to give you two quick things that are blessed and gracious where Jesus comes in and reminds them who he is. He was telling them, I'm your shepherd, you need to know me. But also you need to know my plan for your life. A lot of people think that our life is left up to fate, that our life is left up to some circumstance or some happenstance that may come about. Your life, my life, your very next breath is in the hands of God. If you don't believe that, then try to catch the breath without him. Try to have a next heartbeat without him. All the machines in the world can't keep you alive. Only God can take care of you. As we look at this, we're seeing two things that are troubling. One, they did not know the shepherd. And secondly, they did not know what he was doing. Look at us in our lives. We're very religious people. Come to church, pay our tithes, try to treat our neighbor right. But do you not know that there are some people who believe they're going to get into heaven based on their good works? Some people believe that. I want to ask you a simple question. If you believe that your good works, not saying that you shouldn't do them, but you should do them for a different reason. Do it because it's right. If you believe that your good works are going to get you into heaven, why in the world would Jesus want to go to Calvary? Why would he want to do that? Why would he submit himself to being buried? Talking about God here. Being buried and then raised on the third day if you're going to work it out your own way. That's your problem. That's your problem. I thought I'd tell you, look at somebody and tell them that's a problem, but they might think you got something against them. The problem comes when we try to take life into our own hands. Haven't you learned by now that every time you do that, you mess up? But when you turn it over into God's hands, even though it doesn't seem like it's going to work, some way, somehow, all things, say that with me, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. But you got to know him. It's troubling that they did not know the one who was talking to them. The disciples thought of him as a miracle worker. He's God, sir. He's God's miracle worker. Oh, he does some marvelous thing. They didn't know that he was the shepherd. And some of you, you don't know that the Lord is your shepherd. How sad, how tragic for you to think that you're leading yourself through this life, that all these things happen because you planned it. Look at somebody, tell them this time, you got a shepherd. And your shepherd has come to be a part of your life. How in the world do you expect to have a relationship with other people if you don't have a relationship with God? How does that work? He's got to be first and foremost in your life. He has to be the one who not only gives you the strength, but also gives you the drive to where you want to love and where you can love people. The problem, second problem that we have, amen, not only do we not know God, we don't know what he's doing. God is a God of love, right? So what we want to do is we want to love people with our own emotions. We get emotional. We get all charged up. And I'm going to love you. And we say, I love you until you step on my foot or you call me bad names, right? We're living in a hate-filled society. People hating on one another. And then if they can't find a reason to hate, they just hate you because. The Jews called it the old hatred. And people bring that up. In a society that is at war with itself. Because we are not allowing God to work out his plan and shepherding us and leading us to this green pasture. By the way, these green pastures are not grass. You don't eat grass like an animal. You graze on things like love, faith. How many of y'all need joy? Well, if you ain't grazing for joy, you ain't going to consume it, and you cannot digest it unless you go to the joy pasture. Y'all didn't see that, did you? But that's what your shepherd does. That's how he operates. That's what he wants to do. He wants to lead you to the very thing that you're lacking in your life. Oh, Lord, I need courage. Well, go to the courage place where God has for you to graze as a sheep. But if you don't know the shepherd, you're not going to follow him. And that's a problem. You have self-led people going through life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go and play Isley Brothers if you want to. You're going to discover it ain't your thing. And you can't do what you want to do. Because whatever your thing is, God had to give you. And you would be nothing without him. Those are the things that troubled me. But here's the thing that brought me great joy. Everybody said great joy. This verse, and these verses that we're reading, verse number 7, I love this verse. When Jesus noticed that they did not understand. By the way, how many of y'all got a red letter red letter Bible? Notice that verse 6 is in black and all red around it. Y'all notice that? Might be just a color thing, I don't know, but I noticed that the color's changed here. All right, y'all still here? The problem is the one that's in black. They did not understand what things were which he spoke to them of. They didn't understand it. But please read verse number 7. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Listen to what it says. Then Jesus said unto them, look at the word again. Y'all ain't excited as I am. Maybe I need to tell you what I'm excited about. Even when you don't hear God, even when you don't pay attention to his spirit, even when you don't follow his leadership, God does not write you off, throw you into a trash can and say, you know what? I'm done with you. We walk off from people when we've had enough of them. But you know who never walked off from you? Is God Almighty. He kept speaking to you. He kept pursuing you. God kept talking to you. And one of these days, you're going to listen to him. Now, you say, I ain't going to listen, but he knows how to fix you. Amen. Amen. He knows how to adjust you. He knows how to get you to a place where you will listen. Because he'll bring you to the place where you must listen. So our first joy that we have in this verse is that God kept speaking. God kept speaking. You recall in the Old Testament where God spoke through the law, spoke through Moses, right? And then the children of Israel did not understand. So God, he said, you know what? I'm going to send them some prophets. They didn't listen to them. God said, you know what? I ain't going to give up on you yet. I'm going to send you my son. Are y'all still in the building? When they got mad at the son, they condemned him and said, we don't want him. We don't want him. We don't need him. Nailed him to a cross. And that's when God sent the greatest message of all times. God so loved the world that he gave. Come on, talk to me in here. He gave his only begotten son. Were it not for him going to Calvary, you'd still be carrying your sins around. But thank God, my sins, remember I told you about the red letter? My sins are under the blood. Wherever I messed up, now it's being covered by red. Oh, I wish I could shout up in it like I feel. It's being covered by the red because what I didn't do, God didn't give up on me. Then Jesus went back to the Lord and people said, well, okay, God's no longer speaking to him. Wrong. Wrong. When Jesus got back to glory, God the Father said they still need some talking to because they ain't got it yet. They ain't got it yet. So he dispatched the Holy Spirit into our lives. So when you get to walking and you get to a place where you don't understand, the Holy Spirit will tap you on the shoulders and say, wait a minute, you're supposed to be a child of God. What are you doing over there when I need you right here? He's still speaking. He's still speaking. God is still speaking to us. even though we don't want to hear. We don't want to listen to him because we ain't got time. We busy. He busy, 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 busy. You need to slow down and hear the voice of God. Second thing that brings me great joy in this passage, and I'm going to my seat. I'm going to my seat. I promise you, I'm gonna let you go after this. But the second thing that brings out in this passage, first of all, Jesus reminded them again. He spoke to them again. What did he say? He said, I'm the door to the sheep. Later on in verse 9, he says, I am what? The good shepherd. Amen. He says to them, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill. Are y'all reading your Bible? That's what it says in mine. The thief comes. Wait a minute. Who is the thief? Who is this thief? Do you not know that there's a robbery going on every day? The stuff that you graze to get your joy, your peace, the stuff that you were trying to get by following the shepherd, you got a thief that's following you around that wants to take everything that God gave you. Look at somebody say, but this joy. No, you got to shake your head like you aggravated. You know how you wag your head when you get aggravated. But this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away from me. I wish you'd look at the verse. I'm about to go to my seat and either shout one, amen, Malcolm, I'm about to get happy up here because I know God is good. Not only wasn't listening and God kept speaking, but I wasn't paying attention, but God kept blessing. The thief tried to rob me. It would be enough, Brother Bolden, if he just stopped the robbery. That would be enough. I'd still be blessed if God said, okay, I'm just going to stop the robbery. He didn't say that. Look at what the verse, please read the verse. Amen. The verse said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I stepped in and I stopped the robbery because you're my sheep. But he said, I also came that you might have life. Oh, this is a shout one right here, Reverend. This is a shout one right here. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What in the world does more abundantly mean? Read Psalm 23. It says your cup runs over. How many of y'all ever been pouring a cup, amen, and you forgot to stop pouring, and you forgot to stop putting it into the cup, and you kept pouring, and it ran all over the counter. It ran all. I wish somebody would get so filled up with God that your cup would run over. Then you wouldn't be going around with a sad face. You wouldn't be going around upset. Oh man, my cup runs over. And you know what? The stuff that happens around you don't bother me because remember, I'm covered by the red. 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 The blood of Jesus. Excuse me for getting excited. I'm going to get dignified now. I'm going to get dignified now because we're getting ready to close this message. So I'm going to get, no, I ain't going to get dignified. I'm going to get real ugly. I'm going to get real ugly. Every time the devil comes in or people comes in or his agents come in to steal my happiness, to steal my future, I can stand up and tell the devil, you ain't nothing but a liar because God gave this to me. And by the way, I still got a shepherd. I still got a savior. I still got I wish I could shout in here like I feel today. You keep looking at what you don't have. Maybe something left out of your life and you're looking at what you don't have. But please look around at what you still have. And the greater is this. It said, because your cup runs over, you ought to look at what's coming your way. I'm looking at what's coming my way. I'm looking at the miracles that's coming my way. I'm looking at the joy that's coming my way. I feel like shouting up in here. Excuse me for getting undignified today. I know you're saying we got an undignified pastor, but I just get so excited. It's almost like when I enjoy my wife's rice pudding. I just get so excited. Amen. Your Savior, even when you didn't get it, he still kept giving it. Even when you don't realize that you were blessed yesterday, you know what God does? He doesn't give you leftovers from yesterday. He gives you daily bread for today, fresh out of the oven. I got to stop preaching it. Y'all got to stop shouting. You got to stop clapping your hands. Go on, clap your hands. If the Lord been good to you, go on. Go on, shout. Go on, praise Him. When I saw this thing called abundant life, I had to ask myself, am I living it? See, you can't give what you don't have. If I want to go out and tell people, Brother Joe brought this out in the Sunday school lesson, you want to go out and tell people about Christ and you don't have what you're trying to give them, that's going to be a hard transaction. You're going to be jiving folk. But when you got the real thing, when you got the real joy, when you have the real God, the real power of the Holy Spirit, then you can go out and tell this world. I don't have silver and gold. Don't get me wrong. I got a little retirement plan, 401k plan. I got that. But that can run out. But I got something else that can't run out. I got Jesus. And that's enough for me. As a matter of fact, every day He makes sure that my cup is not only full, but also running over. You've got to be able to tell people about Jesus. Ain't nobody going to get excited about your church because you got a pretty building. They're going to get excited about your church because you got a mighty God on the inside. As a matter of fact, He's not just mighty on the inside. He's mighty everywhere. So we need to run and tell the world what we possess. If you don't have what you need, go to your shepherd. That's what He's in your life for. If there's something that's aggravating you, pulling down your joy supply, pulling down your peace of mind, go to your shepherd. Go to your shepherd because He loves you more than anyone else. And for those that are listening online, those of you that are listening in the parking lot and later on WLLL Radio, and I believe there's enough Holy Ghost to make it a couple of Sundays to that broadcast. Amen? Y'all believe it? You need to go to your shepherd. You may not know Him. You may not appreciate Him. You may not be able to understand everything He's doing, but keep following Him. How many of y'all know more today than you knew a couple of years ago? And you're going to know more in the future because you're closer to home now than what you've ever been. You're closer to your destination now than what you've ever been. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this. I'm going to sit down. I told you that 2 minutes ago, right? I'm going to say this. I'm going to sit down. The more you walk with Him, the sweeter He gets. Amen. He's sweet, He's wonderful, He's gracious, and He's your God. Reach out to Him today. Don't keep pushing Him off. No, I don't need you. You go need Him. Don't wait till you get to the lake to say you need Him. A lot of folk crying in hell, I need Him. Well, bro, you wait too late for that prayer. Like the rich man. Send Lazarus. They ain't sending Lazarus nowhere. You should have got it while you were here. Amen. How many of y'all got Jesus? Amen. Amen. Very quickly, we want to give the invitation today. There might be someone listening for the first time, and now you've got a good understanding. Now you understand better how you ought to be walking with the Lord and paying attention to His grace. If this message has touched you, don't put it off. Don't say, oh, it was just a feeling. No, this is God knocking at the door of your heart. And you need to let Him in. If that's you today, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and help me. And God will do that. Amen? Father, we again thank You for this message. Thank You for the time that we've shared together. Bless us not only to be blessed, but bless us to be a blessing because we got a shepherd who loves us so much. Thank You for being our shepherd. Thank You for being our great God. And Lord, thank You for the joy that we have right now that's running over and that we can share with other people. In Jesus' name, amen.